Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Yale head coach Tony Reno. Let me give you some background on Coach. He's from Oxford, Massachusetts, played his college ball at Worcester State, where he was a three-year starter at free safety, and he helped them to two league championships. Graduated from Worcester State with his master's in health science, started his college coaching career as a defensive assistant at King's College in Pennsylvania. Went back and served as Worcester State's defensive coordinator from 1998 to 2002, and won the 2002 AFLAC Coaches Magazine National Assistant of the Year Award. Moved over and did his first stint with Yale as their wide receivers coach in 2003, and moved over to be their defensive secondary coach from 2004 to 2008. From there, went over to Harvard, served as their special teams coordinator and secondary coach from 2009 to 2011, helped them to an undefeated Ivy League championship in that 2011 season. Yale hired him back as their 34th head coach back in 2012, and he led them to an Ivy League title in 2017, their first outright league title in 37 years. They're currently 4-1, 1-1 in league play, and coming off an absolutely thrilling and improbable win over Richmond. And we're glad to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Coach Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys, how are you? Good to have the opportunity to speak to you both.
You too, Tony.
So, Coach, I got to start off by talking about that win over Richmond. You guys came back from a 27-14 deficit with a little over 4 minutes left in that game. You scored two touchdowns to win it. The last one with 9 seconds left on the clock. You guys recover an onside kick and in order to make that second touchdown happen. Talk about that win.
Well, it was just a testament to our kids. I mean, we've got a great group of kids here at Yale, and they just kept playing. You know, one of the things we talked about was our ability to respond. You know, we started the season off really well, and we had a tough setback up at Dartmouth, and we talked all week about how your response is twice as important as the event itself, and that we had an opportunity to respond within a game. And you know, I said to him before the game, I said, "Fellas, I really hope we have some adversity hit here, and we've got to come back from." And walked in at halftime, and we had it. You know, it was rearing its ugly head, and you know, give credit to our players. We got a great group of seniors and our captain, JP Shofi, who guys who played a lot of football for us, who, you know, understand the importance of staying within a play and focusing on process and not on outcome. And we're able to make some stops on defense and, offensively get a foothold midway through the fourth quarter, really, and then capitalize on two drives in the end.
And along that way, Coach, you guys converted two fourth and long situations in those last two drives. Talk about your quarterback, Kurt Rawlings, and the offense and how they kind of kept their cool and didn't panic there when a lot of teams might have trying to get two fourth and longs.
You know, guys, when we recruited Kurt, we knew that he was a football player. Dad's a high school coach, and we always look for our quarterbacks to be guys who just love it, you know, love the game. And that speaks for all of our kids, but especially at that position, you know, you need a kid who eats, sleeps, and drinks the game. And Kurt's that guy. I mean, he's 19-6 as a starter at Yale. He's, you know, he's one of those guys who just, he could say to the team, "Let's meet on 95 North at 5 o'clock, and that'll help us win." And there would be 105 guys there. So he just has incredible leadership ability. But, you know, he's an exceptional player too. And you know, in the end of the day, you know, We believe that when we have the ball in our hands, that, you know, he's got time on the clock, we still got a shot.
Bob, questions for Coach?
Yeah, Tony, it's always a pleasure to speak, and Chris and I truly appreciate your loyalty to the show year after year. And congrats on the season so far, Tony. You mentioned the only blemish being the game at Dartmouth. It was a very tough day for you guys. Coach Stevens of Dartmouth, Tony, recently reached 100 wins. Tell us about your relationship with Buddy over the years and the nationally ranked defense that he's put together there.
Well, I've got a lot of respect for, you know, Dartmouth and what they've done. And, you know, obviously those guys have done a great job. I mean, it's really, if you look at their record since 2013 in the Ivy League, there's none better. They've had a great team year in and year out. They've got a good system. They've got a lot of support from the university. And, They've got beautiful facilities. They've done it. They've done it really well, and they've recruited great kids who fit their system. And so, you know, all the credit to their success goes to, you know, goes to Coach Stevens and his staff and their players. You know, we obviously, it was one of those days where we couldn't do anything right. And, you know, they capitalized on those mistakes we made. And, you know, I think it was a great learning moment for our team.
And Coach, the first thing any fan or media person notices now upon entering the Yale Bowl is, of course, is the new turf that was installed last off season. Tony, they did a phenomenal job and it looks fantastic. You know, there was a bit of controversy surrounding the job due to the historic nature of the building, but it truly seems that it was a necessity. Your reaction to it so far and how it's really affected your preparation and the practices?
Sure, fellas. You know, I was born and bred a grass guy and love playing the game on grass. And just unfortunately, we couldn't keep it, you know. And, you know, we won an Ivy Championship there in 2017, and it was a really, really tough shape for everyone who played on it. And then we, you know, we tried to get through one more season with it, and then, you know, it just wasn't good. I mean, it was a really, really bad surface for everyone who played on it. Wasn't what you'd think for Yale, you know, and Yale's done an amazing job and, being what I feel is the, you know, the greatest academic institution and, in the world. And when we look at it, and, we now have a field that represents that. And, you know, it's just like everything else at the Yale. It's, you know, it's world class. And, it allows us to practice in there, every day of the preseason and really up until recently until it started, the daytime hours started, eking out of our time here. We were in there every day for practice. So, you know, we're in there as you look at it now. We were in there 3 days a week. But we were in there every day for preseason and, for the first 3 weeks of the season, as well. So it's been a great opportunity for us to have a venue. And, you know, when you're a kid, I mean, you know, you're a player and you're a coach or you're a recruit and you're practicing in the Yale Bowl every day. It's a pretty awesome opportunity.
Coach, along those same lines about, you know, what a privilege it is to be there at Yale, and it's a privilege to be able to play, you know, college football, but talk about your kids and they're, you know, they're walking the halls of Yale. I mean, they're, you know, student athletes getting an opportunity to play Ivy League football and get an Ivy League education. Talk about the rigors your players go through to first and foremost get a Yale education.
You know, fellas, every day I appreciate everything our guys do, because, I mean, they're truly playing Division I football, but the same time restrictions and same time commitment that, you know, the players at UConn or, you know, Boston College or Rutgers or you name it have. But they're also taking an academic load that is the top in the world. And, they're, you know, I have guys who are engineers and guys who are going to be doctors and lawyers and guys who are going to be computer science majors and, you know, guys who are going to do amazing things. And, you know, they've got to still toe the line with all the other students at Yale who aren't spending 20 hours a week on football and who aren't getting up to lift and all those type of things. So, you know, I have so much respect for our players because they're able to do both, but not only just do it, but they excel at both. And, you know, and they relish in the opportunity, and they're a very, very unique group of guys because they're very humble. And they're also very appreciative of the opportunity that they have at Yale. And, that's, you know, one of the things that we really look hard in recruiting are guys who, you know, guys who aren't entitled, guys who are just appreciative for the opportunity and want to make the most of it. And, they make me proud every day.
And Coach, kids don't always make the best choices at college because they're just that. They're kids. They're 18, 19, 20 years old doing college kid stuff. How do you educate your players on making good choices, staying focused on going to class, what to watch out for, and how to represent themselves and the school properly when they're doing interviews or out there on social media?
Well, I think it all starts with your foundation. You know, we believe strongly in core values that are player developed, and a creed that was player developed. We feel strongly in player led team where we have a shared consciousness, which, you know, means that everyone understands what our standards and our core values are and our creed and who we want to be. And we have empowered execution, which allows the players to to really lead. You know, it's not a coach-fed team. It's a player-led team. So that they truly play for each other. And we believe strongly in relationships where our players have strong ties, not only with the coaches, but even more importantly with the guys that they're playing with. So we've got a really tight-knit group of guys. And, you know, when you've been doing something for 147 years, you know, the responsibility of all of us at Yale is not only to the team that we coach or the team we play on, but it's the 146 other teams that came before us. So, you know, it's an incredible opportunity, but there's a responsibility to those who helped us get there and an obligation to those who come after us. So, you know, we look at it every day that we want to leave the shirt better, better for those who wear it after us. And our guys really take that to heart. And everything we do, we look at it in that vein. And, you know, for me in particular, I always look at it as, you know, I've got to do right by the men who were in my position before, and guys like, you know, Coach Koza, who were such great mentors for young men, but also iconic people within the Yale community. So all the decisions we make are to do proud by those people. And I think that when our guys have that foundational belief and understanding of who we want to be, they understand that the decisions they make are very, very impactful.
Coach, I want to switch gears just a little bit. And as we think about coaching fundamentals, and the game has changed so much over the last several years, and a focus on player safety, talk about how you coach your players to make tackles and to kind of avoid the helmet-to-helmet contact so that these kids don't end up with CTE and brain issues later on in life. How are you teaching them to tackle?
I think it starts, you know, first of all, of our support, you know, of youth football, and of making sure that when the guys are either in the game as young men, they're being taught the right way. And I think our USA football, and I think in the Ivy League in general, we've really done due diligence on making sure that we're at the forefront of that instruction, but also of leading by example. And what we've done overall as a league of eliminating live tackling in season and moving the kickoff up, and really trying to find better ways to teach tackling in player safety. I'm a member of the NCAA Rules Committee for football. So each year I meet in Indianapolis with a handful of other guys, and we talk about player safety and things that we need to do to make the game safer. But, you know, in particular with Yale, part of my opportunity with the NCAA is that I'm very fortunate to have time with the NFL and with that research they've done on helmets and player safety. We recently, last year, we outfitted our entire team in the safest helmet on the market, the Rydell Precision Fit. So each one of those helmets is actually fit like a race car helmet, where it's specific to the player. And they come in, they fit the guys individually, and that's their helmet for their time at Yale. And, you know, it really is it's an incredible opportunity for the guys. But, you know, it's our trademark on what we want to be in player safety. As far as tackling goes, you know, we research every tackle. We spend time on everything we do in the off season. We chart every tackle. Was it a safe tackle? Was it made correctly? Was the technique being used right? If not, what are the things we can do to correct it? We actually spend time with our rugby coach and teaching the hawk tackling, which we call dog tackling at Yale, with our, you know, being the Bulldogs. But the hawk tackling, which has been pretty popular nationwide, which really makes use of the top shoulder contact and eliminates any type of helmet contact. So, you know, that's the first thing we do in practice every day, our defense tackles, and they utilize those techniques. And and it's really helped. It's really helped keep the kids safer, but it's also made us more effective tacklers.
Bob, one more for Ghost before we let him go.
Sure, Tony. You beat up on my guys from Fordham earlier this month. You know, the Rams headed by one of your former assistants, Joe Conlon. I saw you guys talking prior to the game. Another Yale star, former Yale star, Paul Rice, heads the defense there. It must be a lot of pride on your part, Tony, to see these guys get jobs and share their firsthand football knowledge with other academic institutions.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we've been fortunate here. You know, we've We've got a great program with a lot of young coaches that have gone on the NFL. Chandler Henley's coaching with the Titans now, and we've had a couple other guys move on as well. But, you know, Joe and I are really close, and obviously Paul's like a, you know, a member of my family. I coached him for 3 years when I was at Yale, and then obviously he stayed on with me, and I just watching both of them grow as coaches has been really, it's been really neat for me. But, you know, I was very proud of both of them when they went to Fordham, because I know what Joe, what type of coach Joe is, what type of person he is, and same with Paul. And, you know, I know the impact they're going to make not only, on the field, but off the field and in the community of Fordham. And like you said, I mean, it really makes me proud. And, I think we've got another group of great coaches on our staff here at Yale, and I'm sure a few of them are going to be leaving to take on head coaching jobs too.
Tony, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, Yale football is doing, and whether it's online or it's over somewhere on social media?
I think it's both. You know, we hired a new sports information director, Mike Ambardella, and he's done a great job working with our department on updating our website. We've got a brand new website at YaleBulldogs.com, which a lot of people have found is really user-friendly and full of a lot of information on the team and the other teams at Yale. For us in football, we obviously are very active on social media, Yale_football on Twitter, and the same for Instagram. So we post things on those outlets daily. So between the two media outlets, I think you can keep up to date with the team.
Well, Tony, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. To Bob's point, for coming back and joining us over the last several years, it's an honor and a privilege to have you as part of the show. We wish you a heck of a lot of luck for the rest of the season.
Well, the same here, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and all the support from you both and in the community. The New Haven community for our Yale football family has been amazing. So we're gonna debut our new video board this weekend. So hopefully for the fans that come out to the bowl, they're gonna have a completely new interactive experience during the game as well.
Oh, that's fantastic, Coach. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you.
See you down there,
soon.
Tony.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Good night.
See you, Tony. That is Yale head football coach Tony Reno. Bob, great guest, and kudos to you for the relationship you formed with Coach and having him come back on the show again this year. But what a great guy. And he's all the things, just like Willie Simmons, all the things that we love about a head coach. Teaching the X and O's is great, but the commitment to the boys, to the community, and to them getting their education first and foremost, outstanding.
Going to say exactly what you said. Willie Simmons was on my mind. Guys that coach Chris, but football is just kind of on the surface of what they're really trying to get across. So you talk to Tony Reno, you get the feeling that, yeah, and if you see him coach, he's intense. But it's all about making these guys better human beings, and he's been very successful at it. We're just very fortunate that he gives us time every year.
Indeed. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to our five-star picks of the week on the other side of this real quick station break.